Good morning again. Just see me all day, I guess. That's what happens when one's coming home from Mexico and the other one is waiting for a baby. So that's good. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to go back to the book of Genesis, which I'm excited to. And I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 17 this morning to the end of the chapter. And the scripture says this: Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad. Irad fathered Mahalalel, and Mahalalel fathered Methuselah, and Methuselah fathered Lamech. And Lamech took two wives. And the name of the one was Ida, and the name of the other Zillah. Ida bore Jabal. He was the father who dwells in the tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all those who play the lyre and the harp. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Nahamah. Lamech said to his wives, Ida and Zillah, "Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Listen to what I say. I've killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth, for she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord." This is God's word. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word this morning, God, we ask that you would still our hearts. Help us to be able to hear your voice speaking to us. God, we do echo the words of the song we just sang, "We need you." We need you to understand what you're saying here. We need you every day in our lives. So speak to us this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Graduating high school can be an exciting time. The world feels like it's opening up in new ways, right? There's opportunities to go to college, opportunities to work, maybe opportunities to travel. I remember when I graduated high school, I was pretty excited. I have the opportunity to be able to go off to college. And I had a thought. And I started thinking before I went that summer. I was like, really, nobody knows me where I'm going. So I can become anyone. I can start fresh. Like they don't have any history of me. Like where I'd gone to school, like everybody knew me from kindergarten to grade 12. And now it's like brand new start. You know, what can I do with this? I can maybe be friends with different kinds of people. I can do different kinds of things. Have you ever thought to yourself, how can I change the story of my life? Or how can I change the patterns of my family from the way that I grew up in my family? Maybe you're kind of at a point in your life and you're like, I want a new legacy for my family different than what I grew up in. How do I do that? How do I get that new start? And you're like, well, I can't go to college and get this fresh start and people don't know me. And let's be honest, you know, like I went to college and realized you can't really start over. You're still you. You still have your same patterns. You still do the same things. So that didn't even really work for me either. So how do you do that? How do you get that fresh start? How do you start a new story? We have been looking through Genesis chapters 1 through 11. We took a break for the last couple weeks, but we're back in our series again, and our series title is Knowing God and Seeing Ourselves. And my prayer as we've been going through this series is that we would be able to see who God really is as he's revealed to us right at the beginning of the Bible. And in light of who God is, that we begin to be able to see who we are and understand how God made us, what our identity is, and what our needs are as sinners as well, which is all revealed to us in these early chapters of Genesis. So this morning, we're picking up our passage in the middle of Genesis chapter 4. So I think it was about 3 weeks ago, we looked at the story of Cain and Abel. And if you remember that story, both of these brothers, they go and they go to God. They want to worship God. They bring sacrifices. God accepts Abel's sacrifice and he doesn't accept Cain's. Cain gets upset. And really in this jealous rage against God and also against his brother, he murders and takes down his brother Abel. So now we're going to pick up the last half of Genesis 4. And what we're going to see in this text this morning is the family tree of Cain, so how the family continued. And you heard all those names that we read through. And then also there's another family that gets mentioned at the end in verses 25 and 26. And this is the family line of Seth. Now, these two families are radically different, the family lineage of Cain and the family lineage of Seth. And we could say that these two families, they play to the tunes of two very different songs. In fact, buried in this text is a song. We'll see it in verses, I think, 23, 24. Lamech sings a song, one of the great-grandchildren long down the line of Cain, and he sings a song. We're going to see it. So we're going to see two songs in these two very different families. And as we see these songs, what I want us to be thinking about is, what tune is my life in sync with? You know, if you want to change your story, you want to change the legacy of your family, look at what tune your heart is aligned to in your own life. So we're going to look at these two songs for these two different families. The song of the family of Cain and the song of the family of Seth. Let's start with Cain. So after Cain killed Abel, if you remember at the end of that text, then the Lord, he cursed Cain and he sent him out to be a wanderer on the face of the earth. And our story then picks up at that point at verse 17. And it says, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. When he built a city, he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So we're careful readers of this text, and we should feel a little bit uneasy about what's going on here with Cain. Because Cain had been, what? He'd been cursed to wander the face of the earth, and here he's building and he's settling. He's making roots, and he's starting to build a city. And what he's doing is he's disobeying the very word of God. God had cursed him to be a wanderer on the face of the earth, and now he's trying to go against that and build a home for himself, to try to find, really, his own way of finding redemption. And you can see already right there the heart of what's going on with Cain's song. His song is defiant. And the song is kind of, maybe you could say it's something like this. He's singing like, I'm the captain of my own soul. You know, I can do things my way. I don't need God. That's his song. That's the song of Cain. Now, we noted there's something going on. Cain builds a city, he calls Enoch. And it's significant that he called the city Enoch. You know, we might not think about it right away because we name lots of things after people, right? We got Duke of Sutherland Park, right? Named after the Duke. We've got City of Victoria. We've got all kinds of things that are named after people. So why is it a big deal here that this city is being named after his son, Enoch? What's going on? What Cain is doing is he's expressing his security, his hope, in the name of a man, not in the name of God. He's looking to the name of a man to be, you know, his strength, his hope. So you can see it again. His song is, I'm the captain of my own soul. I can do things my way. I don't need God in my life. There's a Psalm 49, verse 11 and 12. And it actually gives a warning for, you know, putting hope in the name of a human. So here's what it says, Psalm 49, 11 and 12. Says, their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they called lands by their own names, man in his pomp will not remain. He's like the beasts that perish. So right here you see that the grave is a harsh reality. Cain cannot cure his curse by finding strength in the name of a man. And none of us can remedy our situation by finding our hope, by finding our security in ourselves, in what we can do. So we really need to heed this warning that's coming to us from the Song of Cain's Heart. Now, you know, we're not building cities like we live in Brooks. We're not building giant cities and whatever Cain was doing. That's not what we're doing. But there's other ways that we can look to be finding our own security in our name or in what we can do. And one of those places is in our work or in our career. We can look to our career, we can look to our work as a place where we find meaning, significance, value, and maybe ultimately our very hope. I came across a story this week about a Russian opera singer back in the 1930s. And his career was on the rise. He was starting to surge, starting to get opportunities to sing in some big places in Moscow. And a communist operative, so to speak, came up to him and said, "Hey, you're getting really popular here. We'd like to ask you to invite this person over here to your after parties. People love to go to your after parties, and we'd like this person to be there as well." And this opera singer, he knew who this person was that they wanted to invite. He was a KGB officer. They wanted to plant him there so that he would spy on the guests at the party. And so this opera singer, he politely declined, said, "No, that's okay." And this communist government leader said, "Well, if, you know, we don't want you to lose any further opportunities. We want you to continue to see your career go up. We want you to, you know, keep growing and making money and all this stuff." And he said, well, he just declined again continually. He was asked a few times. And eventually the opportunity stopped coming. And he wasn't able to sing in some of these big places. And he went into poverty with his family because he chose not to pick his name, not to pick his career over what he really believed in. So we're not facing a threat maybe to lose our jobs, but we can all be tempted to find our deepest security in the things that we do, you know, and to do that, we might sacrifice things in our life to have that. We might sacrifice our morals, our families, maybe our friends. So what tune is your heart in line to when it comes to your career? What's the tune of your heart when it comes to your career? Is that the thing that you're looking to find your hope, your meaning, your security? Now, the story of Cain's family keeps moving on. Verse 18. In verse 18, we see his family tree. So one son after another son keeps going on. So Enoch has a son named Irad, and then the line continues. And what we're going to focus on is this last name there in that list. The son was named Lamech. And verses 19 through 24 really dial down on Lamech's story. Lamech goes on, and he has three sons. And the three sons' names are Jabel, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. Okay, and you know, as we're speaking about songs, what we'll notice is that there's a surprising note of grace revealed to this lineage of Cain and to Lamech's family, because we'll see this in these three boys and what they are able to do. Jabel was an expert; he was the father of tent making and those who have livestock. And we know if you look at the Bible, there were people that had livestock, but there's a sense where he's really expanded it. So you could maybe think of Jabel as being like this agribusiness entrepreneur. And he is really understanding how to make money and how to grow in the agriculture business like no one has ever done before. Then you got Jubal, and he leads the way with fashioning musical instruments. That's verse 21. And then the third son, Tubal-Cain, is described as this forger of instruments of bronze and iron. So, and there's actually a real sense in the text that these skill sets that these boys had, that they were a good skill set. There was nothing wrong with their ability to be able to do these things and the way that they were advancing society with them, because they have a sister. Verse 22, the end of verse 22 says, the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naama, and her name means pleasant, graceful, gorgeous. So there's a sense where these things are actually, these developments are not bad, they're good. So God's grace is revealed even in the this broken family of Cain that's looking to build their own name and find their security in themselves. However, there's still a great problem with this family and with Lamech's family. Author Kent Hughes points this out. As the descendants of Cain through Lamech learn to manage their surroundings in order to prosper, they fail to manage their lives. They fail to manage their lives. How true is that still today? You know, we have all kinds of amazing developments in technology and science and education, agriculture, so on. And yet at the very same time, we don't even know how to manage our lives properly. Our worlds are falling apart. Families are breaking. So you have an increase of wealth. You have an increase of technology, of increase of arts. And yet at the very same time, you can still have a demise of morality happening. And you get that sense from the third son, Tubal-Cain, because he's got this hyphenated name. And we're supposed to think, again, as careful readers, of who? Cain, right? Back to the beginning of Genesis 4. We're supposed to think about Cain, and what did Cain do? He murdered his brother. And now Tubal-Cain has figured out how to forge instruments out of metal. And although that can also be good, there's a grim reality to those things where more death can be caused through metal instruments. So cultural advancement doesn't mean that, you know, the tune of our hearts has actually changed. Just because we have more abundance, just because we have more maybe knowledge about how to do things, doesn't mean that we've actually become better. And you can see that in the next piece here in Lamech's song. So let's look at verses 23 and 24. Here's what he says. Lamech said to his wives, Ida and Zillah, hear my voice. You wives of Lamech, listen to what I say. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. So first thing I want you to see here is that Lamech is singing to his wives. So he has two. He has two wives, and this is the very first time in the Bible where polygamy is mentioned, is referenced, is talked about. And so here's Lamech living opposed to God's good design for marriage. And we know what God's good design for marriage is. We looked at this earlier back in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So marriage by God's good design was one man, one woman in a covenant, lifelong relationship. And Lamech is demonstrating by his polygamous marriage that he's singing to Cain's tune. He's saying, I don't need God. I can do things my own way. And so Cain's song leads Lamech to twist marriage into doing whatever with it, with whatever he feels. And what he feels is, well, I want two wives. So what does that mean for us? I think it's important for us to think about Lamech here. There's no option to God's design for marriage when it comes to one man and one woman in a covenant, lifelong relationship. That's how God designed it back in Genesis chapter 2 with Adam and Eve. So maybe right now, maybe for you, you're living outside of God's good and perfect design for marriage. And if that's the case, you're here for a reason. God's opening an opportunity up for you to turn back to him, to align yourself to God's good and perfect way for marriage to be lived out in the world. So if that's you, you know, turn away from the song of Cain and the way Lamech is living that out and thinking marriage is whatever I feel, you know, sexuality is however I feel, and look again to God's good plan. And maybe for you that means that it might mean you have to go and get married. Maybe you need to go out and get married and make that covenant promise to that person. Or maybe for you it might mean leaving a relationship that you shouldn't be in. So I just want to say, if you feel the Holy Spirit is prompting you in some way in this area, you know, feel free to come talk to me as a pastor, any of our elders, other pastors. We'd love to pray with you and have that type of conversation with you. Okay, so let's look now at the content of Lamech's song. And it's kind of like this. So his content, so he's singing to his two wives, and it's kind of like this. He's like, listen up, ladies. You know, listen up. One commentator, I love this. I didn't have this in my notes, but I'll give it to you. He was like, just imagine Lamech in his boxer briefs with his Uzi strapped on his back, and he's singing, listen up, ladies, listen up. Here's what I got today. Here's what I got to say. Here's what I've done. And what does he say? I've murdered someone. And not just someone. That text actually says someone younger. And some scholars say maybe younger meaning like teenager. For striking him, and we know what his son can make, metal instruments, and he murders someone, maybe a boy. What you see in Lamech is that he utterly devalues life. And then he sings this at the end. He says, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. That's a strange verse. Like, what is he trying to say here? What is he communicating to us? So remember again the story of Cain. This is what you have to reference this back to. So when Cain was sent out by God to wander the earth, he's like, oh no, I don't want to go because now I'm going to get killed. And God puts a mark on him. We don't know what the mark is. And then says, if anyone strikes you, if anyone takes you out, then I'm going to take vengeance on them sevenfold. So God would take vengeance on them sevenfold. That's a perfect vengeance upon whoever would go against Cain. Now, what does Lamech say? He says, my vengeance is 77-fold. So he's saying, my vengeance is, I don't need God. I can do this on my own. In fact, I can take better vengeance than God. I can do justice better than God can even do it. So Lamech is approaching life with a total absence of God. He's erased him from the picture. Now, there's a very, I think, deliberate contrast to this in the New Testament. So in Matthew chapter 18, one of the disciples goes up to Jesus and says to him, how many times am I supposed to forgive someone? And you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18? He said, 77 times. I think that's a direct connection back to what we just saw here with Lamech saying, I can do vengeance on my own. I don't need God. And Jesus is saying, you need to give unlimited forgiveness. Whoa. How can you do that? How can you change the tune of your heart to be able to give unlimited forgiveness and not going out and getting justice on your own, not going out and saying, I don't need God to fix my problems? Especially if you say you've been wounded by someone's very sinful actions. How can you keep on forgiving even when you're not keeping track anymore of how many times? How can you, you know, get the song of Cain out of your head like an earworm, maybe like a bad Taylor Swift song that doesn't get out? Shake it off. You know, getting that out of your head and humming a new tune. How do you do that? Let's look at the second family. Radically different than Cain. Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. So I want you to think back to Adam and Eve. Eve had to have been absolutely heartbroken. You know, she had two sons, Cain and Abel. And in one act of hatred, she loses both of her sons. She loses Abel and she loses Cain because now he's got to go and wander the earth. Heartbroken. And at the same time, she also has this loose promise hanging over her life. Because God had promised her that she would have an offspring that would crush the head of the serpent that deceived her. But now, where's that offspring going to come from? And then the Lord provides by giving her Seth, the son named Seth. And Seth was granted to her to take Abel's place. So the promise of God had not failed. That loose end began to get tied together again. God was going to work it out. Here was the offspring that she had been waiting for. She had hoped that God would crush the serpent. So we know that the serpent, he can wreak havoc in our lives. He can try to destroy families, divide us, cause all kinds of hatred. He can get families trying to, you know, sing another song. But what we see here is that he will not ultimately win. A seed of hope has been given back to the world through Seth. So out of the ashes of this broken family for Adam and Eve, they receive a son, a new offspring. So verse 26 says, to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. So something really remarkable is described here in this last verse for us in verse 26. During, well, Seth is alive. He has a son, right? And his son's name is Enosh, which is like, I'm like, can we make this more confusing? You know, like Cain has Enoch and Seth has Enosh. Anyway, and the people, what happened though when he had his son? What happened? They began to call upon the name of the Lord. And to call upon the name of the Lord, what that means is to worship him, to sing his praises, and even more, it means to proclaim who the Lord is. So the people were beginning, during this time of Enosh, to declare that God is creator, that God is forgiver, that God is sustainer, that God is compassionate. So while the sons of Lamech were, you know, innovating with arts and with technology, the sons of Seth, they pioneered the worship of God. So now, let's think about this. We've been had this big question over it, this sermon. How do we change the trajectory of our lives? How do we change our story? How do we change our, you know, the legacy that we want to build for our families? There's only one way. We have to tune our hearts to the song of Seth's family. And what did? They called upon the name of the Lord. They proclaimed the name of God. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So the invitation to tune our hearts to this new song is for everyone. It's not an exclusive thing. Anybody can do this. Anybody can call upon the name of the Lord right now. The Lord is opening that door for us. And there's something actually really unique about Seth's family that we should know. It's the lineage of Seth that produces the serpent crusher, Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one who is the name above all names. Jesus is the one name, the one person we can go to find forgiveness for our sins. The one name that we can go to get a fresh start and a new beginning in our lives. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So what tune is your heart aligned to? What tune is your heart singing to? One day we can look forward to one of the great songs in heaven that all the saints, the angels, are going to be singing together, and we get a picture of it in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. The song is this, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So tune your heart to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Call upon his name, the name above all names. The name that can forgive us from all of our guilt and sin. The name that can give us a fresh start and a new beginning. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Proclaim his name as Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it speaks into our time. And God, I just pray that you would apply these words to our lives this morning. Tune our hearts to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the worship team to sing a song for us to close. It's called Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. You'll know it. First verse has a line that I love that I think fits great with this morning. It says, tune my heart to sing of thy grace. Make that your prayer this morning as we sing it, to tune your heart to the grace that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. So let's stand together and we'll sing.